Today I will provide an overview of Canadian federal policies and related population indicators associated with social determinants of health. I wanted to put the slide in there because you're required to, but most of you already know that social determinants of health, like income and education, guide lifestyle choices and behaviors that produce health or illness. I want to emphasize the role Canada has played in generating much of the current and foundational research in this area. For example, a very popular and frequently cited book called Why Are Some People Healthy and Others Not? Was published by a Canadian institute called CIFAR, the Canadian Institute for Advanced Aging. And this book led to a new understanding of factors underlying population health. Moreover, currently, the World Health Organization's Commission on Social Determinants of Health has established two units, the Globalization and Health Unit and the Early Childhood Unit in Canada. What we wanted to know was how have Canadian policymakers responded to the research and evidence that supports social determinants of health. Now, policies can intervene in the social production of health through three major pathways. If you look at the display in front of you, from the top at the first level are policies that seek to change the social stratification of the society itself, usually using redistributive measures. For example, using taxation and transfer policies to redistribute income. At the second level are policies that target disadvantaged populations in order to reduce the negative health consequences of their social positions. Examples of such policies would be policies that improve working and living conditions. At the third level are policies that directly target the healthcare system. For the purposes of our discussion, we will focus on the first and second levels of policymaking in Canada. So when it comes to income distribution as a social determinant of health, the Canadian federal government offers certain tax benefits to its senior citizens, to families with children under the age of 18, and to some low-income groups. When we look at population indicators in this area, we see that in Canada, the poverty among senior citizens is one of the lowest levels compared to other Western nations. However, income gaps in Canada have continued to rise over the past few decades. Income inequality, in fact, is slightly higher than average compared to other nations in OECD. I hope all of you know that OECD is Organization for Economic Development and Cooperation. So how does Canada perform in early childhood development, education, and care? One of the major concerns in this area is that the rising generation among developed countries is spending a large part of their childhoods in some form of childcare. It has been suggested that Canadians will gain $2 for every dollar invested in good quality of childcare. Currently, Canada does not have any programs that address quality and access to childcare services. Most of the current policies in Canada basically support parenthood, for example, providing support for high-risk pregnant women or providing educational support to parents with young children. In fact, access to regulated childcare services is available to only about 17% of Canadian families. Also, child poverty in Canada is about 17%, which falls in the higher range compared to other developed nations. A report by UNICEF basically compared the quality of childcare services, including early childhood education and development, in 25 developed countries. And that report found that Canada met only one of 10 standards in this area. Some of the examples of the standards that were used were child poverty rates, percent GDP expenditure on childhood education and development, and things like child to staff ratios. When it comes to general education, Canada provides free elementary education and secondary education to its citizens. There are grants and loans available to post-secondary students as well. In fact, Canada has one of the most educated societies in the Western world. About 50% of the people in Canada have some form of post-secondary education among developed nations. When it comes to employment status and job security, the Canadian policies do support unemployment through an employment insurance program. They also provide this unique youth employment strategy program for 15 to 30 age group, which basically provides skills and experiences to these people for success in the workplace. Employment rates in Canada have increased over time. However, this can be a bit misleading because most of the Canadians are employed in temporary jobs. In fact, only 50% of working Canadians have a single full-time job that has lasted 6 months or more. This is also reflective in the Employment Protection Index, which is a job security index that is published by the OECD. When it comes to housing as a social determinant of health, the Canadian government provides housing assistance to its senior citizens, to certain low-income groups, and to certain individuals living in the rural areas. However, a major concern in the housing area is that rents in Canada, especially in one of the largest cities such as Toronto and Vancouver, have continued to rise over the past decade or so. Renters in Canada are four times more likely to live in unaffordable housing compared to homeowners. About 13% of individuals in Canada live in unaffordable, inadequate, or unsuitable accommodations. In conclusion, we examined five areas of policymaking related to social determinants of health in Canada. We found that Canadians do enjoy high levels of educational attainment in their society. However, some progress needs to be made in other areas. Even though poverty rates among seniors is quite low, poverty among children is very high. There is low job security and low rent affordability in Canada. There's a need to standardize child care services in this country. We clearly see that there's a gap between research and policy translation in Canada. No discussion on policy can be quite complete without an understanding of the ideological forces and the political structures that govern lawmaking in any country. In Canada, the constitutional distribution of power between the local, provincial, and the federal government is key to policy formulation and implementation. We are not quite certain as to which combination of policies and programs can work best to alleviate the socioeconomic gradients in health, but we do know that intergovernmental cooperation is an essential factor for success. In countries such as Sweden and Italy, where policies related to social determinants of health have been in place for years, as evidenced by their generous family support programs, low child poverty rates, and some of the healthiest people in this universe, really, we see that the involvement of the community and coordination across all sectors of the government were essential for success. We, the authors, strongly believe that Canada can greatly benefit from facilitating intergovernmental cooperation and coordination in order to create policies related to social determinants of health.